A blessed, blessed day, everyone. Welcome to our midweek study on the book of Exodus. And so, as we continue our study, we find ourselves in Exodus 21. And today, or tonight, we'll be looking at the first 11 verses. So, kindly turn your Bibles to Exodus 21, verse 1 to 11. Andiyan na kayo? Now, these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will go out. I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. When a man sells his daughter as a slave, she shall not go out as the male slaves do. If she does not please her master, who has designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has broken faith with her. If he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her as with a daughter. If he takes another wife to himself, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, or her marital rights. And if he does not do these three things for her, she shall go out for nothing without payment of money. The word of the Lord. Pray po tayo. Loving God, we ask in all humility that you would teach us tonight. We pray that you would open our eyes and allow us to see the wonderful works found in your word. We pray that this would not be added information, but truths, Lord, that would mold our convictions. We pray that you would teach us and preach to our hearts, and we pray that you would give us a lovely day, a lovely time for us as we ponder upon your truth. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen and amen. As we continue our study on the book of Exodus, remember, sabi natin, the last section of Exodus 20 dealt with things or matters concerning worship. Remember, we said that God did not want his people to be worshiping pagan idols, and God did not want his people to be worshiping like the pagans. And so we hear that they were commanded, the last time we were together, that they were not supposed to make gods of silver or gold. And they ought not to be making altar of hewn stones, meaning polished stones. Why is that? And we said, God doesn't want any glory to be robbed from him. Kasi alam natin, compared to the pagan worship then, their altars were intricate. Their altars were really decorated well. And we understand that even in our time, that there is a tendency to worship the craftsmanship and the artistry of people rather than to worship the sovereignty of God. And we saw that there was a principle on simplicity, because God wants his people to be worshiping him and not other no one else. In fact, not even altars. We also saw that there was a principle on purity. They were not supposed to be worshiping pagan idols. They were not supposed to be worshiping like the pagans. And we said the pagans then would worship their gods, and that includes obscenity and at times, and oftentimes, nakedness. And God was very explicit. You shall not go up to, you shall not go up by steps to my altar, and that your nakedness be not exposed by it. God doesn't want such aspect of false worship to be found in his people. Sabi rin natin that there was a principle on locality. Sabi ng Panginoon, in every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. It doesn't matter if it's not confined to a place. Wherever God wants to meet with his people, that's when and that's where you would worship. And pointing us to John chapter 4, wherein we heard and we read Jesus saying, hindi na nag-matter if it's in Jerusalem or on this mountain, but God seeks, God desires true worshipers who would worship in spirit and in truth. We also saw that there was a sense of sacrifice. They ought to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. And we said that pointed to Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it pointed to Jesus Christ, who was our burnt offering, consumed. God's righteous indignation was poured on him, and he was our fellowship offering, our peace offering, wherein we were reconciled to God. And the last time we were together, we made it very clear that these sets of instructions are given to his people to give them means and ways how they ought to live. And I said, they are actually amplifications of the Ten Commandments. So after giving them a practical application in worship, again, an amplification of the first table of the commandment, that is, loving God with all that we are, we see how the succeeding chapters deals with how they relate to each other. And this will happen in starting in chapter 21. Notice verse 1 of chapter 21. Now, these are the rules that you shall set before them. Ito raw ang mga instructions, ito mga utos. Here are instructions with how you deal with each other. In fact, sabi ng ilang scholars, this is their bill of rights. Ito ang inyong saliging batas, ito ang inyong mga karapatan as a covenant people. Now, in verse 2 to 11, in chapter 21, we see instructions regarding slaves. Slaves. When we hear slaves, we cringe, diba? What? Slaves? In the Bible, we should note that slavery in the time when this was written was part of the norm. Yes, part of the norm. People who does not have the means to sustain living offer themselves up for slavery. Kunyari, hirap na ako, wala akong makuhang trabaho, or wala akong kayanan buhay ng sarili ko, I would offer myself up for slavery, and that would make me in a better place. I will be earning money, I will be fed, I will have roof, I will have shelter. But a slave in their time then was treated as a possession. Yung slaves were treated as possessions. Nalala nyo kung paanong dinescribe yung wealth ni Abraham sa Genesis? Along with precious jewels and stones. It included donkeys, oxen, camels, sheep, male and female servants. So ganun ang paningin ng mga tao nung unang panahon that this was written sa slaves. But you need to understand, and the context, the immediate context, the people of Israel were just lifted out of slavery, tama? And they have been slaves for 420 years. Slavery is all that they know. And we know how they were mistreated by the Egyptians, diba? They were given taskmasters. Now, in their newfound freedom, they are not supposed to do slavery the way it was done to them, the way it was done by the known world then. They must not drift into what they're used to. God's kingdom is altogether different. In particular, slaves have rights. Kahit yung babaeng slave, they have rights. Walang ancient law code na alam ko that gives rights to slaves or to women or to women slaves. That is why, with regards to the covenant people, we see slavery not condemned nor condoned yet regulated. Tama? So, verse 2 to 11 deals with slaves. Verse 2 to 6 deals with male slaves. Verse 7 to 11 deals with female slaves. Let's now look at the instructions regarding the male slaves. Look at verse 1 again. Now, these are the rules that you shall set before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, you shall serve. He shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife, and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. Tingnan natin, observe natin itong instructions na ito. Instructions by God with regards to the male slaves. Look at verse 2. Sabing ganon, when you buy a Hebrew slave, again, sabi natin, slavery was a norm then. But here in this text, we read, when you buy. So, slaves can be bought. Pero, in Leviticus 25, verse 39, we would read people selling themselves. Right? Now, let's pause for a while and discuss important matters. Ang akala ng ilan, ang Biblia ang responsible for slavery. The opposite is true. Slavery existed long before Israel or Moses. The Bible is responsible for the elimination of slavery actually, not in the establishment of it. And we see that by giving restrictions, giving parang hindi siya binibigay sila ng regulation, right? They are being given regulations. Listen to Charles Spurgeon as he comments on this matter. Moses did not institute slavery in any shape. The laws concerning it were made on purpose to repress it. Kaya binigay yung instructions para i-regulate. To repress it, to confine it within very narrow bounds, and ultimately to put an end to it. Right? Listen to Cole, as he also comments on this. The Torah accepts slavery as an inevitable part of ancient society, much as Paul did, but the new humanitarian approach will ultimately be the death knell of slavery. In any case, slavery in Israel was rural, domestic, and small scale. End quote. So, it's an option to the poor. Wala silang kakayanang mabuhay. They don't have anything to eat. They don't have any place to stay. So, it's an option for the poor. One can buy and one can sell. A rich person can buy slaves. A poor person can sell himself to slavery. But notice that God's instruction clearly indicates that His people, yung kanyang covenant people, are not buying people. Hindi niya binibili yung tao. He is not buying the person, but He is clearly buying His services. Right? But not nasabi yun. Sabi ganun sa verse, diba? 2. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh, he shall go out free. May kontrata, right? In a way, we can say that these are the rules, these are the rights of a contract worker during their time, right? Pero, as we read in verse 2, tingnan niyo yung Bible niyo ulit. I want you to see that for yourselves. It reads, Hebrew slave. We need to ask then, is this talking about the covenant people who happen to be slaves? I think so. Kasi, let's look at parallel passage or passages that deals with the same thing here. Deuteronomy 15. Deuteronomy 15, verse 12. It confirms that this is indeed talking about a Jew. Verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you, he shall serve you 6 years, and in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. If your brother, go to Leviticus 25, verse 39, we would read the same. If your brother becomes poor beside you and sells himself to you, you shall not make him serve as a slave, kagaya nung kaparaanan nila nung unang panahon. So again, these are laws for the covenant people coming from God who made a covenant with them. These are instructions by which they ought to be living. They should be distinct from the rest of the world. Tatanungin naman natin ngayon, paano yung non-Jew na slaves? Right? It is significant that the first words of this section of law in the book of Exodus, itong section na ito, show that God wanted Israel to respect the rights and dignity of servants. So I'd like to believe even non-Jews are respected. The first words of God from Sinai had declared that He was Jehovah, He was Yahweh, who brought you out of slavery. And I think it would go against God's nature, who revealed Himself to His people as the one who saved them from slavery, and to not give regulations with regards to slavery. Tama? And in this remarkable code, the first person whose rights, di ba, are dealt with is the slave. Pagkatapos natin pag-usapan ang principles about worship, ano, kaninong karapatan ang diniscuss sa slaves. So I think even non-Jews who are slaves are protected. So I think the same kindness are rendered to foreigners. And I think mamakit natin yan eh. As we progress with our study, we would see that such kindness and grace are offered to the foreigners as well. So this is a type of service na temporary, may contract. The slaves worked for 6 years and then went free. Parang may sabbatical sila. And furthermore, they did not leave empty-handed. Let's look at Deuteronomy 15 again. Deuteronomy 15, verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you, he shall serve you 6 years. And in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. So, tapos na yung kontrata. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go empty-handed. So, meron siya dapat bitbit. Ang tawag doon, mga separation pay ba yun? O, I don't know. You shall furnish him liberally out of your flock. Sabi ganun, dapat you should be generous out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, and out of your wine press, as the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Pinapaalala sa ng Panginoon Diyos, you were slaves before like them. And the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this today. Right? Share ko lang sa inyo. Meron akong very personal experience na nakita ko talaga ito. Again, I'm not saying that this principle applies to us still. Diba? But there are those who would like to honor God and apply this to how they do their company. One classic example is yung last company that I worked for before I became a full-time pastor. In fact, sila yung nag-push sa akin mag-aral, sila yung nag-push sa akin na mag-full-time. And this company is an international manufacturing company. It is owned by missionaries' kids. Yung tatay nila naka-based noon sa Masbate, and so nag-put up siya ng negosyo ng company. Actually, mga graduates itong mga boss, yung mga boss ko before, graduates sila ng Faith Academy. And so napaka-generous itong ng mga magkakapatid na ito, who owns the company. Very generous sila. And they make sure that yung kanilang mga workers, pag may mga problema sa pananalapi, ang sinasabi nila, huwag kayong pupunta sa anumang financial institution. Kasi alam nila, nalaman nila na may ilan na pumupunta sa mga, ano, mga loan sharks, di ba? Yung sa mga Bombay. So, they make it a point that if you have financial difficulties, go to the company and we would help you out. And kami po ay binibigyan ng terms, installment, with no interest at all. Right? So, napakaganda na napaka-generous na, na paraan ng kumpanya. But here's the wonderful thing. Right? This company observes the Jubilee year. Kagaya ng sistema nito, on the 7th year ng iyong pagbabayad, pag inabutan ka ng Jubilee year, then anumang tira o anumang obligation mo, it will be wiped out. Galing, di ba? Again, I'm not saying that every employer here listening should do that. But I'm saying that some do that because they want to honor God. Hindi siya instruction para sa atin in our setting, but it's just so wonderful that I was able to experience that firsthand. May kasama nga ako, hundreds of thousands yung kanyang utang wiped out. This is what's what we see here. They are offered a contract for 6 years. On the 7th year, they are set free. At hindi lang yon, they should not leave empty-handed. So, alam natin that the ancient Near East culture practiced slavery. But these laws, these instructions protected slaves in Israel better than the laws of the other nations. Ito rin po ay para siyang civil rights nga. Sabi ko nga, this form of service was also civil. Hindi siya pwedeng apihin. Lapastanganin ng kanyang master. As you would see later, kadikit na kadikit ng utos na ito ay yung utos patungkol sa violence and abuse. Minsan pa nga, receiving slaves or getting slaves are seen as a good deed dahil tumutulong ka sa isang kapatid o sa isang tao, sa isang person, and the idea is for you to help them get out of debt. Hindi siya oppressive, hindi siya racially based, and you need to understand that there were those who are educated na naging slaves. It just so happened na nagkaroon ng mga pagkakataon sa buhay nila that they were in debt. And so they offer themselves their services para makabayad ng utang. So ibang-iba ang sistema ng Israel compared to the known world. A final difference is this. This law or these instructions preserve the sanctity of the family. Napansin niyo, look at verse 3. If he comes in single, he shall go out single. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's and he shall go out alone. So, sasabihin nyo, bakit? Paano po ito pinipreserve ang family? Compared to the rest of the nations na sinaseparate ang family? Pagkabasa, parang unfair naman to. But let's do some observation. We ought to be remembering a few things here. Pag pumasok ang isang lalaki na single, and all throughout his stay, he's single, then he will leave single. What if he gets married? Right? Right? Well, bakit sabi yun, he shall leave as alone, a single, or lalabas siya alone? You need to understand that yung napangasawa are also slaves. So the female slave is also committed to a contract of 6 years for labor. Tama? And she could not just end her contract and leave with her husband. Natapos na yung contract. The husband can do three things. He can wait, di ba? Tapos na yung kontrata mo, labas ka, but your wife needs to stay. You can wait, and you are assured na poproteksyonan ang asawa mo and your kids. Then you shall wait. Or you can get a high-paying job para mabayaran mo, so you could redeem your wife and your kids. Or, as you would see here, it here, you can commit yourself to working permanently for your master. As look at verse 5. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. The love there, for master specifically, mean hindi siya affectionate. Hindi siya yung emotional. Emotions na. This is loyalty. My master has been very good to me. I'm loyal to him. And I want to be with my wife and my kids. I will not go out free. At ang gagawin, lalagyan siya ng hikaw. Ito'y palatandaan that there was a covenant, right? The husband slave was brought before God first, of course, and a sharp object went through his ears at a doorpost. And it symbolizes covenant. And this covenant is a permanent commitment. Now, after listening to the rights of the male slaves, we now turn to the female slaves. Look at verse 7. When a man sells his daughter as a slave, he shall not go out as the male slaves do. Hindi kagaya ng mga male slaves. If she does not please her master, who has designated her for himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. He shall have no right to sell her to a foreign people, since he has broken faith with her. If he designates her for his son, he shall deal with her as with a daughter. If he takes another wife to himself, he shall not diminish her food, her clothing, or her marital rights. And if he does not do these three things for her, he shall go out for nothing without payment of money. Again, kagaya nung kayo nakita sa male servants, napaka-harsh naman ito. Why did God allow men to sell their daughters, you might ask? Para sa ibang tao. Again, we do not know all the details here, but it seems that the father was not trying to get rid of the daughter, but trying to impose her or trying to improve yung prospects niya of marriage. Alam natin, arranged marriages were common in their time. So this was a father's way to improve the life of his daughter by offering her for setting her up for marriage. Ang isang mahirap na tatay could send his daughter to a rich home in hopes that she would be part of that family. Diba? Pwede siyang pakasalan ng master niya, or pwede siyang ibigay o ibitroth ng kanyang master sa kanyang anak. Right? That's what we see here. If a man sells his daughter to be a female slave, again, the matter described here seems to be describing selling a young female daughter as a slave to a family with the intentions of marriage. Ito yung kanyang intention, kasi sa sobrang hirap niya, hindi kita bibigyan ng magandang buhay anak. And so, binibigyan niya ng pagkakataon ng kanyang anak na magkaroon ng pag-asang maangat sa buhay. Again, this was their culture then. Uso yung fixed marriages. So, this refers to a girl who is sold by her father, not for slavery, but for marriage. Paigan niyo yung comment ni Nicole. And I quote, probably the origin of the custom was the same in either case. To avoid paying a higher bride price at a later age and to rear the future daughter-in-law within the family, ensuring that she fitted in, such an attitude to slaves abolishes slavery except in name. O, maganda sabi ni Cole. So, kasi pag mataas na, pag matanda na yung anak mo, mas may dowry sila eh. Right? Mas mataas na ngayon ang bride price. So, by doing this, in the case that you are poor, you are giving a greater chance of your daughter being in a family. Nag-start siya as a slave, then she could fit in, kasi slaves then were employees, then you would be assured that the daughter would fit in. Tas sabi rin dito, if her master did not marry her or decided not to give her to his sons, the master was still obligated to respect her rights under God's law. He had to treat her well and give her opportunity to escape the obligation of servitude na pwede siyang mabili o pwede siyang makaalis sa pagiging slave. Listen to Walt Kaiser commenting on this. Should the terms of marriage not be fulfilled, it is to be considered a breach of contract and the purchaser must allow the girl to be redeemed. So, pag nagkaroon ng konting issue, hindi na sunod ng employer o ng master itong kalakarang ito, then there's a breach of contract, then he should let this girl be redeemed. At napansin din natin, hindi siya pwedeng ibenta ulit, especially to foreign people. Kunyari na hindi niya gusto itong slave na yan. He cannot sell her to another master. That would be breach of marriage obligation. Okay? And then we see here as well, hindi dapat gutumin, dapat laging bigyan ng pananamit. And her marriage rights are not to be deprived of her. If the girl received into the house, into the home, with the expectation of future marriage did not work out, she was not to be treated poorly. She was not to be deprived the comforts of the home. Kailangan siyang i-treat according to the custom of the as a daughter, not as a slave. If the household failed in their obligation sa pag-aalaga at panukala patungkol sa babaeng ito, sa slave girl na ito, she was granted freedom. These were remarkable protections of ones who might be disadvantaged. So nakita natin, di ba? Sabi ng Panginoon Diyos, I am the God who brought you out of Egypt from slavery. And the first right that we hear after re-emphasizing that God is the one true God and He should be worshipped, nakita natin ang protection sa slaves. Nakita natin na merong protection ang mga slaves. Pag hindi nag-workout, hindi siya pwedeng ibenta. Pag siya engage sa kanyang sa anak ng kanyang master, she should be treated as a daughter. She would have the full rights as a free citizen. Kasi betrothed na siya. If the engagement ended, the man had the duty to provide food, clothing, and marital rights. Right? Now, as I've mentioned the last time we were together, God has given His people the Ten Commandments. And we took longer there, looking at each commandment. Sabi natin, it was God Himself who spoke to them in a very terrifying fashion. Remember that? He wrote them by His own fingers. But there's more to say. Thus we read the people saying to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. So the people stood far off and Moses drew near to God and God gave him the instructions. And these are the initial instructions. sabi natin, they are amplifications of the Ten Commandments. Nakita natin kasi ang unang diniskas ng Diyos ay concerning worship. And what do we see here? Yes, the rights of slaves. They are protected. Slaves were not condemned nor condoned but regulated. And we saw, sabi natin, compared to other nations, the slaves in the covenant people are very protected. They were not, they had the opportunity to buy themselves off. In fact, after the sixth year of service, they are free and they would not leave empty-handed. The female slaves are should be treated as a daughter-in-law or a daughter. And sabi natin, yung mga female na slaves are actually given opportunities to be part of the family through marriage. And again, these are amplifications of the Ten Commandments. The Eighth Commandment says, you shall not steal. Remember the far-reaching implications? Ephesians 4:28 says, let the thief, the one who steals, no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Listen, in the hardships, rather than to steal, one should work. And in their case, offering oneself to slavery is a way to earn and live a modest and decent living. On the other hand, nakita rin natin, an employer, a master, is prohibited to be paying their employees na hindi karapat dapat sa kanya, o yung he should be giving his employees, his slaves, what is due them. 6 years of work, seventh year you're free, and when they go out, they should not leave empty-handed. And what do we see? This is a principle of not stealing as well, because when you treat your employees poorly, that's morally stealing. So what we have in this section, among many others, maraming tayong prinsipyo nakita dito eh, but among many others is an implication and an amplification of the Eighth Commandment. Diba? Galing, no? The Ten Commandments were given by God Himself. The rest of the commandment were given to Moses for the people. But what we see is an amplification of the Ten Commandments. It started off with worship, and now it's about slaves. And who is God speaking to? Those who were slaves before. Diba? Ang galing ng Panginoong Diyos. But let me end with this. Na, sabi natin kanina, a man who desires to stay with his master out of loyalty and out of love for his wife, perhaps kung meron siyang anak at mga anak, will have his ear pierced. This piercing of the ear at the doorpost illustrates a beautiful picture of service. Siguro ito yung naiisip ni David when he was writing Psalm 40. Listen to Psalm chapter 40, verse 6. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. What am I saying here? Worship without a lifelong commitment to obedience is no worship at all. The slave was saying, I would be committed to you. And his ears were pierced. Worship without lifelong commitment to obedience is no worship at all. David said that God desires lifelong loving obedience to him. Pero alam nyo, ang pinakamaganda rito, we too, as believers, have bound ourselves to Christ, our Maker. But He is our Master as well. And He is a kind, generous, sacrificial Master who actually became a slave Himself. Remember? He emptied Himself up by putting on flesh. And to Him, we should gladly say as we end this study, because I love you, I'm yours forever. I am yours forever. Exodus 21 dealt with the rights of the slaves given to former slaves, being taught now to us who are slaves of Christ. Our Master is very kind. Our Master is very giving. Our Master who is very loving. Our Master who put on flesh so those who would believe in Him would have eternity with Him. To spend it with Him. To love Him forever. I am blessed with this study. I hope you were too. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these instructions you have given your people and the timeless truths and principles that we can use para po sa aming buhay. We thank you for showing us that in your kingdom, there's indeed grace. In your kingdom, there's indeed love. We thank you that you also shown us that our Master humbled Himself, emptied Himself by putting on flesh, obedient even until death on the cross, so that those who would believe in Him, those who would be His slaves, would be with Him forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, what an honor it is, Lord. What a privilege it is. What a joy it is, Lord, to be your slaves. Because you are a loving and caring Master who died for us so that we would live. Who redeemed and ransomed us out of slavery to sin. And has changed us so beautifully to say with all our hearts, we are yours, Lord, forever. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for preaching to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me. Let me just mention this again. On November 11, we'll be having our very first time in-person midweek study. It will be November 11, Wednesday, from 5:30 to 7, or 5:30 to 7. So, but we need you to be signing up for that and to be registering so that we would have the means to do to manage it and to follow health protocols. And I'm excited to see all of you. Right, we'll still be looking at Exodus, so I'm praying for that time. In the meantime, salamat sa inyong pagsama sa akin and have a great night. God bless you.